Welcome to this podcast of Armstrong Chapel. I'm lead pastor David Brown. It's a blessing to be with you today, to share the inspiration in these moments, and to be uplifted by the power and love of Christ. Enjoy this message. Will you pray with me? Enter into these moments of word and witness by the power of your Holy Spirit, that our hearts might be transformed, our lives shaped and formed into the wonder of your redemptive plan. And we offer it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Intellectualism may be one of the greatest crises facing the church today. Intellectualism based out of trained seminary, trained pastors, congregations affluent in educational knowledge and systems, even overwhelmed by AI and all the resources you have at your fingertips. To see and understand God only with head knowledge is the greatest concern among us. It starts for John's gospel a similar way. Chapter 3, we encounter a religious leader of his day named Nicodemus. Clearly, a trained, educated man of scripture and of faith. And he comes to talk to Jesus in secret at night. The encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus is familiar to many of us. And after all, let's face it, if you haven't watched a football game or a baseball game and seen John 3:16 behind the pitcher's mound or the ball plate, you've not watched. But there is a deeper message, because there's John 17. John put this story together in a fascinating place. He starts it out with Nicodemus saying, "Truly, you've got to be from God because you do incredible things." Please make note, this is chapter 3. You haven't heard many amazing things already done by chapter 3. You and I might read into that passage because we're familiar with the other gospel accounts and all the miracles and healing and exorcisms and wonderful teachings of Jesus. Such hasn't been recorded by John yet. I think the most telling of all the encounter exchange between Jesus and Nicodemus is Jesus' pointed question, "If you are the teacher of the law, do not know these things." Have you wondered whether or not our knowledge is all we're attaining for? Maybe it's the ability to memorize a creed so that we have all the answers and no mystery. Maybe it's a sense that we can proclaim our little Jesus is for us and not for anyone else. Oh, there's these remarkable elements within Jesus's encounter with Nicodemus. For a personal, holistic faith is what Jesus employs Nicodemus and us, the listener, to embrace. A life filled with water and spirit. A tangible sign of an external, deeper internal truth. A renewal of mind and soul and body far beyond just an intellectual exercise. We find ourselves in such a crisis of faith, for we seek to follow the one who claims to be the Prince of Peace. And yet we see our world caught in conflicts and human exploits to bring about justice. We find ourselves questioning where and when would God seem to intervene in a world caught in calamity and crisis. Yet the word from Jesus to Nicodemus and to us is that he came to be the one who offered the sacrifice for the sins of the whole earth, not just a select few. The one who would claim us by the remarkable nature of his grace to change us more from head knowledge into head and heart knowledge. Be a people abounding in what Christ would hope reveals not that God would condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. John Wesley, the influencer of Methodism, in May 1738, was at a place called Aldersgate. When he would go home that night and would jot in his journal, after hearing the reading of Martin Luther's essay, an opening to the book of Romans, the passage that was a glimpse in this tale of Abraham being the father of many nations, not just a select few, but of God's children born on earth, that this one who would come to redeem the world would come at all costs, cost of God's Son. And not only would that sacrifice be for those who would claim and believe, but would be for the whole world. Wesley would write, "My heart is strangely warmed after that reading of intellectual wonder." A claim that in Paul's letter, the abounding quality of grace is what we are to both receive and share. It would be such a living faith that Wesley would employ his followers to have a heartfelt rigor and a transformation of heart, a personal piety and a discipline, not merely to let others act, but to cause our actions to be social holiness for all to see. As the psalmist promises us to sing to the Lord a new song, receive this special music to lift your heart to praise God.
Oh, Thank you for sharing in these special moments, Armstrong Chapel. We pray that God will surround you in these moments. You'll share with family and friends. You'll care for one another as we look forward to joining again next week. God bless.